Current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. The Detroit Lions are a game over 500 and sit in second place in the NFC North. Still in the top spot, the Minnesota Vikings enduring heartbreak at the hands of the Honolulu Blue and Silver yesterday afternoon. Matthew Stafford led the team downfield for yet another game-winning drive in overtime. No less, Current Sports' Al Martin joins us now to talk about the magic of the Lions and how long it might last. Hi, Al.
How about four of the last five, Mark? Is that right in the script? Is that, my goodness.
This is grabbing a lot of people's attention, and the way they're winning even more so. What transpired in those last couple of minutes that allowed the Lions to win this thing?
Well, let's just go back to 23 seconds left in regulation. This team needs to have, at the very least, a field goal to try and push it to overtime to give themselves a chance to win, right? Matthew Stafford, you can't give this dude 23 seconds. Heck, you can't even give him 1 second now. I mean, when you look at what he's done this year, it's been truly remarkable, Mark. So 23 seconds on the clock. Matthew Stafford finds Golden Tate to the sidelines. Golden Tate goes out of bounds, stops the clock. Andre Roberts this time. Matthew Stafford, I thought in that moment the Lions needed at least 24. They end up getting 27 yards due to the completion from Stafford to Andre Roberts. And then this was so key to me, Mark. For Matthew Stafford and that Detroit Lions offense to understand the situation that, okay, we had 23 to start this drive. We need to clock the football. They rush to the line of scrimmage. They all get in a legal formation. Matthew Stafford hikes it, spikes it. 2 seconds left. That took a lot of heads-up play from all 11 men in the Honolulu Blue. And then Matthew Prater goes out, kicks a 58-yard field goal. That's good. That ties the game. And we look at Matt Prater, Mark. I mean, talk about clutch. Not only just Matthew Stafford here in this conversation, but Matt Prater is now 23 of 23 when it comes to fourth quarter or overtime go-ahead field goal wins or to tie the game. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's never missed 23 of 23.
And he's so good from so far out. He holds
exactly.
The NFL record for the longest. And yesterday's was 58 yards or whatever it was. A lot of kickers would not have made that.
And we were talking before I just came in here. I mean, that thing would have been good from 62, maybe. You know, it really has some loft on it. Then, of course, to culminate, you know, that game for the Lions, Stafford to Golden Tate. The king of yards after catch, right? Stops on a dime near the sidelines, eludes one tackle, and does like a Simone Biles USA Gymnastics flip to seal the deal for the Lions. I mean, how you can't write this stuff up any better, can you, Mark?
That was something else. How, these thrilling endings are great when you win. How can the Lions take control of games earlier, assert themselves more strongly at the start of these matchups and stay in control?
Well, that's a good question.
Just not in the team's DNA or what?
Exactly. Well, and I will say this, though. When you win close games like this, and this is again, the fifth time out of the five wins the Lions have had this year, I mean, Matthew Stafford has led his team to a game-winning drive, right? I mean, it's really a remarkable stat when you look at it. But, yeah, you would like that comfort of having some cushion in these games, right? I mean, win one where you don't have to pull off some last-second heroics. But with that being said, Mark, when you win games like that, it does a lot for your confidence moving forward, because it doesn't matter what transpired in the first three quarters. You may be down. The Lions still believe they can win that game. From a confidence standpoint, it's great. They sit 5-4 in the year. They're a half game in back of the team they just beat on Sunday. And you look at the rest of the season, Mark. I mean, they play their final three division games at home. That's huge, and that does include the Vikings, who will be trying to feast on the Lions and want some revenge after what took place this past weekend. They play each other on Thanksgiving Day, so that should be a fun game.
Has Matthew Stafford become a part of any MVP conversation?
Without a doubt. Yeah, he's certainly in the mix right now, Mark. I mean, you look at his statistics. I mean, right now he ranks 6th in the NFL in touchdowns. He ranks 4th in the NFL when it comes to passer rating among QBs with over 100 attempts down the field. When you look at, you know, his other numbers, since 2011, no quarterback has had more fourth-quarter comebacks. He has 19 on the year thus far. He threw for 219 yards, Mark, 2 touchdowns against a fourth-ranked pass defense against the Vikings. And, hey, he's also in the top 10 in passing yards this season. And, oh, by the way, the Lions sit above 500. Mm. That certainly puts him in that conversation, Mark.
The Michigan State football team taking another loss, this time to Illinois on Saturday, marking seven straight losses. What are the Spartans playing for now? What do they have to play for now?
Yeah, talk about shifting the mood here on Current State, right?
It's been
a really tough year, Mark. And you look at the bodies that they've just been beaten up this year, especially when it comes to health, Mark. We saw Tyler O'Connor go out with a concussion test this past weekend. Malik McDowell, foot injury. Vyontae Copeland, it was announced yesterday that he is now out for the season with a broken foot. Monte Nicholson, Kari Willis, we didn't see them play Saturday. We saw offensive lineman David Beadle go out. It's tough when you don't have the bodies, and you couple that with youth. Nothing is guaranteed. No win is guaranteed for this MSU football team. There's three games left. Rutgers, Ohio State, both at home. Then they finish on the road against Penn State. At this point, Mark, you just want to get better. You just want to get better. Wins and losses aside here, this team needs to just get better. No guarantees in the win column, though.
Michigan rolled over the Terrapins this weekend at Maryland. Do you see the Wolverines finishing undefeated with three left to go?
Well, I'll tell you what. All signs point to just one heck of a showdown between the Wolverines and the Ohio State Buckeyes come November 26th. I do believe that both of these teams will be undefeated when they meet in that season finale. And I really do believe that Ohio State has a legit shot to try and knock off the Wolverines and give them their very first loss of the year. I think that it's been a remarkable year for the Wolverines, without a doubt, Mark. They're one of the best teams in the nation. But I still think when you compare their schedule with other stout teams in that top 10 ranking right now, I still think that the schedule has been a bit soft for the Wolverines. I haven't really seen them be truly tested on the road. And I really believe that Ohio State is going to bring it on that day.
Can't wait for the Ohio State game.
Certainly.
I'm a Spartan. Don't get me wrong, but that's a hell of a matchup, and
yep,
it'll be really intense this year.
Certainly.
One of the positives from the Michigan State sporting weekend was men's soccer. We beat Penn State in the Big Ten tournament. How significant is this for Damon Rensing and his team?
This is huge, and we'll actually have Damon on Current Sports later this afternoon live here in studio to talk about it. But, you know, for this program to host its very first ever Big Ten tournament game, I mean, that's huge. That's huge. And, you know, this is a Michigan State team, Mark, that didn't lose and hasn't still lost at home all season. Absolutely remarkable. So they host that game. They play Penn State. They get that 2-1 win. It was a great play, a great header from Jimmy Fiscus to give them the go-ahead dub with, you know, that still came, though, with 15 minutes left. Huge play, though. And now they move on to play Maryland on Friday in Indiana. Maryland actually topped Michigan over the weekend. But this is huge for this program, and I'm excited, you know, how this sets them up for a possible NCAA tourney berth moving forward.
We got less than a minute, Al, but which local teams are still alive in high school football after two playoffs?
Yes, just week to rattle two. Off a few. Going into week three now, we've got DeWitt in Division III, Corunna still alive in Division IV, the Ithaca Yellow Jackets. I feel like I'm saying their name every single year during this time of the year, Mark. They're still alive in D5 this time. They moved up from D6. Jackson Lumen Christi at D6 and Pawamo Westphalia at D7. Exciting times, Mark.
More from Al Martin this afternoon at 1 on AM 870 WKAR. It's Current Sports. Thank you, Al.
Hey, anytime, Mark. Thank you.